consider the lowly dental floss.
By myself, I wouldn't have no boss, but I'd be raising my lonely dental floss.
$2 billion is probably enough to support a few real dental floss tycoons that Frank Zappa was dreaming about back in the 70s. But are they worrying up Montana way about a well-read report this week from the Associated Press saying there's no evidence that flossing really works in the long term? Flossers are passionate folks and don't take such disputations lightly. Dr. Scott Tomar is the editor of the Journal of Evidence-Based Dental Practice and professor at the University of Florida College of Dentistry. He says the benefits of flossing are backed up by the evidence.
Well, we've certainly known for quite a while that dental floss is effective at removing plaque, the bacterial buildup on the area between the teeth, and removing debris between the teeth. And there's actually pretty good evidence of short-term benefits. Things like preventing and reducing gingivitis, the transient inflammation of the gums.
Where is this report coming from?
Well, I'd say the evidence for longer-term outcomes, things like tooth decay starting on the side surfaces of the teeth and an advanced form of gum disease known as periodontitis, the evidence is pretty sparse and not very strong for those outcomes.
What are those reasons?
Well, to do the types of studies that you would need to do in order to establish that relationship would be incredibly difficult, incredibly expensive, and at this day and age, probably not even practical.
Is it the case that there are certain features of our teeth that respond to our care of those teeth and the dental hygiene that we use, the amount of brushing that we do, flossing, that sort of thing? But then there are other aspects of our teeth that are genetically based, that are related to inherited factors that we have limited control over.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, most of the diseases that we deal with in dentistry, similar to other diseases, are multifactorial. So certainly there are things that we can do to reduce our risk for things like dental caries or tooth decay, periodontitis. There are certainly things that we can do in terms of diet, in terms of avoiding use of tobacco products.
So in this Associated Press report, there is no reason to stop flossing here.
I would say based on the best available evidence that we have, I feel comfortable still recommending flossing based on what we've established as the short-term benefits of it. And again, I think it's important for people to understand that the absence of evidence of effectiveness is not at all equivalent to evidence that something doesn't work. And so this is a situation where in order to get the type of evidence that we would need for flossing, preventing periodontitis or dental caries, we would need to follow people for a period of years to monitor changes that progress pretty slowly. So it would be studies that would include, probably thousands of people followed for a period of years. Imagine the difficulty of randomizing somebody to not floss for the next 3 to 5 years. It's just not feasible and perhaps not even ethical based on what we know about at least the short-term benefits.
Are you a flosser?
Absolutely.
And are people who floss better people than people who don't floss?
I wouldn't say that they're better, but
None of this. No, come on. What do you really think?
I think that there's certainly good evidence that flossing will reduce, at least in the short term, your risk for things like gingivitis, that it will remove and break up the bacterial colonization.
Yeah. Okay, first date, you go home, you brush your teeth, you floss, your new girlfriend doesn't floss, it's over, right?
Not at all. Like any behavior change, what we try to do is provide the information and hope that the other person voluntarily adopts better health behaviors.
All right. So you'd be selling her on flossing, but you're happily married. Is that the case?
That is the case. Yes.
All right. Dr. Tomar, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Dr. Scott Tomar is the editor of the Journal of Evidence-Based Dental Practice and a professor at the University of Florida College of Dentistry.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.